Begin the current daf Masechta the Shabbos daf Tzadi Tes. We begin on the bottom line of Tzadi Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, discussing the krushim, the planks, and the areas, the curtains that hung over the Mishkan on the top and on the sides. So the Gemara begins. Tanabon went in the Braisa. Charutzim hoyu krushim. The planks themselves were chiseled towards the bottom, as we explained in the previous daf, that there was a half a amu in between the thickness of the krushim, which was an amu on the bottom. So now, in between the two fingers, so to speak, these two hands that stuck out from the bottom part, an amma height of the bottom part of the krushim, there was a half amma distance between the two of them. And that is, so now there was two separate hands, and also it was chiseled around from the outside so that they could fit into the thickness of the udun, which were the sockets that were an amma height, and there were holes in the udun, in the two adonim that were there to hold the two hands sticking out, that it could fit in uniform, that now the planks could match up and be a complete wall, and you have each one having that it comes down, it's an amma thick, and then on the bottom it has these two hands sticking into the two sockets, and then it would be perfect hanging over onto the edge of the socket, now that the socket wouldn't be taking up space between the krushim and the top, and it would be all uniform flush, one into the other, to be a perfect wall. As the Braisa says, v'chalulim hoyu adonim, and that the sockets were hollow, again, as we just mentioned, because there was these holes that you could put in these yodis of the krushim, so there are these two holes, so to speak, of the adonim, now the two fingers of each carriage would be sticking in, and then it would be flush on the top, and then each adon that would be touching the other adon would be also side by side of the krushim. So we continue on the top of Tzadik Tesam and Al. Then now the Braisa says something totally different. V'nirin krusim b'lulois kikechavim b'rikim. That the hooks that were in the loops, which was on the ureus, on the curtains that hung over, which when you were in the Mishkan, you looked up at the roof, you saw the lower curtain, the hooks that were in the loops appeared like stars in the sky. And that's because the loops, the hooks were made out of gold, and the loops were made out of tchelis, out of blue wool, and so blue wool looks like the sky, and the gold looks like stars. That gave that appearance. And that is, the way it was, is that there were two groupings of ureus. Of these curtains, each one had five ureus with them, and then you put them together, each ureus would be sewn with a needle with the one next to it, along its width. And then in the middle of the Mishkan, it was connected, these two groups, each one, machperes and machperes, there was a group of five ureus together with the other group of five, which was a length of 40. Each one had, the width of each one was 4, times 5 is 20. So then they would be attached with these hooks. That one side had loops and the other side had hooks, and then it would be attached, as the pasuk in Shemos Chavav says, "Makabilas halalois," that there would be opposite each other, so that you had these groups of five and these groups of five, and they would meet in the middle, and they would then take the hooks of one that would go into the loops of the other one. So the Braisa says that appeared like stars in the sky. Now the Gemara continues about the order of the appearance of the ureus of the curtains that hung over the Mishkan. Tanabon in the Braisa, ureus hatachtonis. The lower curtains, as we had said on the previous step, there were many different levels of curtains that there were, either 3 or 4. So the lowest curtains, which was called the Mishkan, because that was what you saw from the Mishkan, that was made out of shal tchelis, of blue wool, v'shal garmon, of purple wool, v'shal tlashoni, of scarlet wool, v'shal sheshen, of linen. The yoinis, and the upper ones, the one on top of that, that was called the ureus ha'oil, or the ureus ha'izim, that was shal maisis, and that was made out of goat here. There was a greater amount of wisdom that was said about and that was necessary for the upper ones, for the ureus ha'izim, than was necessary for the lower ones, for the ureus ha'tachtonis, for the ureus ha'mishkan. How do we know this? The ilu b'tachtonis, because regarding the lower ureus, it says in the pasuk, v'chol isha chachma slave b'yodeo tavu, that each woman, with the wisdom of her heart, with her hands, she spun the curtains. But regarding the upper ones, it says, that all the women that had their hearts that inspired them, they went with the wisdom and they went and spun the goat hairs. And that is the terminology of nesia slave. It shows as if there was a greater amount of wisdom that was necessary. There was although the first one says it was chachma slave, this was nasaliban. That's a greater inspiration. That sounds like required more wisdom than the lower one. As the Gemara proves, v'tanya zlut nabraisa meshurim benchemim in the name of benchemim. Why was there a greater amount of skill of wisdom necessary for the ureus ha'izim for the upper ones? Because shatov be'izim, the upper ones, they were washed the wool when it actually was on the goat, the tovim in the izim, and it was even spun on the goats. So imagine what skill was necessary, because they actually spun it. As it seems like it would make it better if it was done that way instead of first shearing it and then spinning. They would spin it on the goat before it was even taken over. So obviously that required a greater amount of skill and wisdom than the lower ones. Now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah that spoke about shtei guzdus terayis v'chulu regarding two porches that are along the length of the Rosh Hashanah. There we said, although the Rabbanan would argue on Rabbi Akiva if they're on the width of the Rosh Hashanah, but on the length of the Rosh Hashanah, there they agree that it'll have a status of a chiyuv regarding hoishata, regarding passing one from the other, because that we find by the Levium, that they did pass from one wagon to the wagon in front or the wagon behind, which is on the length of Rosh Hashanah. So for passing, there we find that you chayiv above 10 tfachim, but regarding the width, we don't find, and we also don't find that regarding throwing, they only did it regarding passing the planks to crush them from one to the front, or from the front to the back, and therefore, they say that in the length of Rosh Hashanah, there, because we learn everything from the Hilcha Shabbos directly and down to the detail from the Mishkan, since in the Mishkan that it was in the length of the Rosh Hashanah, that there would be passing higher than 10 tefachim, so that you could learn up for these two gizus turets, for these two porches, if they're on side by side on the length of Rosh Hashanah, then you'll be chayav for passing. See, Gemara elaborates on this. Omer of Meshum Reb Chiya, a statement that we had quoted on the previous daf, Agolis, regarding the wagons of the Mishkan, and again, this is where we learn up the halachas of these two porches, which everything is learned up the haitzah from. Specifically, a lot of the halachos learned from the wagons by the Levim, how they did the avodah. Tachtein, under the wagons, ubinein, and between the wagons, vitzideyan, and the sides of the wagons, which mean the walls and the wheels of the wagon, Rosh Hashanah, they hold the halachic status of Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara on the previous daf went through great detail to describe exactly what those dimensions were and why had halachic status of Rosh Hashanah. But the idea is the wagons were in Rosh Hashanah, and the areas underneath and between them had this status of Rosh Hashanah. And that's why the Gemara is introducing this, because this is how we know the Guz Terayis passing from one wagon to the one in the front, that it, to the land of Rosh Hashanah, that you're going to be chayav. So Omar Abaye says, Bein Agolo La Agolo, between the wagons, that there was two wagons, there was four wagons, two in the front and two in the back. So between each wagon, there was a distance, Kimoloi Oirich Agolo, like the measurement of the length of the wagon, to which the Gemara says, the Kama Oirich Agola, and how much was the length of the wagon? That was Hey Amos, that was 5 Amos, and that was the distance between the wagons side by side. So that was the measurement between them. So then the Gemara asks, now this that we said that the measurement between them was 5 Amos, because that was the measurement of the length of the wagon. So the Gemara says, Lomali, why is it that actually that the wagon had a length of 5 Amos? And we discussed this in great detail, the measurements of the wagon, the length and the width and the planks on top of it in the previous stop. But now the Gemara, once we introduced it because we wanted to know the distance between the two wagons, and we said that that's the same amount of the length of the wagon, the Gemara inquires, why is it that we needed the length of the wagon to be so long, to be 5 Amos long? As the Gemara says, Bedalot Palgasagi, it would have been enough for the length of the wagon to be 4.5 Amos. And because what happens is that they needed the wagons for the crush and for the planks. Now, as we said before, that in the previous stop, that the width of the planks would be on the length of the wagon. So if the length is going to be 5 Amos, either way, you're not going to be able to have more than 3 planks of groups of planks for their width to be on the length of the wagon, because each one was 1.5 wide, and that if you take 1.5 times 3, it's going to be 4.5, and you're not going to be able to have any more. And if you're going to do it on the narrow part, as we described in the previous stuff, that there was a wide part of the crushim, and then on the different side, there was the narrow part. One was 1.5, and the other one was 1 amma. So if you're going to do it 1.5, we said, oh, so it's going to be 4.5 ammas, because you can't, it's going to be only 3 groups. And if you do it on the narrow part, you also can't have more than 4 groupings, because you have to have space between between all the different planks, and because it has the rings that are there between the different groups of planks. So therefore, it's also going to be enough with 0.5 amma, because what you're going to have is 4, each one being 1 amma, and even if you have 4 groups, again, that's going to take up 4 ammas. So the space between them, because of the rings, you'll have an extra amma to divide them between the 4 different groupings. So either way, the question of the Gemara is, why did we need the length of the wagon to be 5 ammas? It could have been 4.5 ammas. Either way you cut it. If the krashim are on their wide part, and it's 1.5 ammas, so you're going to only be able to have anyways 3 groups of 4.5, And if it's on this narrow part, you're going to be able to have four groups of an amah, which means four amas. Either way, you only need 4.5 amas, not five. So the Gemara says, no, we needed five amas. Ki hecha delay litcha ku krashim. We didn't want the krashim, the planks, to be pressed one against the other, and therefore we needed that space to have a little breathing room, so to speak, between the two, and therefore, especially if it's going to be on its wide part, it's going to be 4.5 amas, you need to have that extra half amma to be able to breathe, that won't be crushing each other, especially if it has the rings, so that it could fit into the 5 amas and not have it in 4.5 amas. The Gemara continues describing the measurements of these wagons. Amar Rava, Tzidi Agola, the size of the wagon, that is the space between the wagon and the wheels, and the thickness of the wheel and the thickness of the wall, with Kamaloi Reichav Agola, that was the same as the thickness of the wagon. That is, on two sides of the wagon, when you compute those up, that's going to be exactly the thickness of the wagon. That is, you had an amma and a quarter on each side. The wheel and the wall of the wagon took up an amma and a quarter on the right side and an amma and a quarter on the left side. As the Gemara says, how much was the thickness of the wagon? That says, we said, Shtei amas emesa, the thickness of the wagon was 2.5 amas, and therefore, the way we're describing that the wheels and the walls took up the same as the thickness of the wagon that was on both sides was an am and a quarter, which equaled the same as the wagon, as the width of the wagon itself, which was 2.5 amas. So similar as the Gemara did before, so now they go back to the basics and ask on that. The wagon itself, it was 2.5 amas. Lamali, why did I need it to be 2.5 amas wide? If it's because sometimes you're going to want to put the crushing inside of it, that is the length of the crush of the plank will be on the length of the wagon, and therefore the thickness of the crushim, which is an am and a half at most, is going to be in the thickness of the wagon. So Bamsa Palakisaga, then it's enough to Gemara ask with an am and a half. And you could then put it on its narrow part, and then you won't have a problem. Why do you need the thickness to be 2.5 amas? It could be an am and a half. Why would it need to be more? And if it's going to be the length on the width, it also doesn't make a difference, because anyways it's not inside, it's just hanging over it. And that the Gemara says, Ki hecha delay lidadu krushim. The reason for this was that the krushim should not topple over. That is, if we do, as the Gemara described it on the previous daf, that you put the planks on the length of the planks to the width of the wagon, that's on the walls that are there on the bottom, so they're going to topple over. If you're going to have only, it's only an am and a half, and the planks are 10 amas long, it's going to be too heavy, it's going to topple over, and therefore it has to be a little bit wider, it has to be 2.5 amas, so that it's only having 2.5 amas sticking out on either side. That way it won't topple over the wagon, and that the crusher won't fall off. And that's why it's not enough with an am and a half. But then the Gemara asks, so now we're getting a picture of what this looked like, of that the krushim were 10 amas long, and you have the wagons which were 5 amas long, and they were 2.5 amas wide, and each side, the wheels and the walls, took up an am and a quarter, which was another 2.5 amas, so therefore the wagons themselves took up 5 amas on the length and on the width, because if it's 2.5 amas itself in the inside, and the wheels and the walls are an am and a quarter on either side, that's 5, and we have a space between them, as we describe, of 5 amas, and then we have the next wagon, which also took up 5 amas, so therefore the Gemara asks as follows. We know it's halacha regarding the halachas of the different domains that Rishus HaRabim is an area that has to encompass 16 amas. The question is, Ananda Gamrilim in Mishkan. We learn all the halachas of Shabbos from exactly how it was in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. The Mishkan Chamisri Havi, but the Rishus HaRabim of the computations that we see regarding the wagons were only 15 amas. And that is because, as we just described, we have two wagons going side by side. The width of each one was 5 amas. That's 10 amas. You have the 5 amas in between them, or between the wagons. That's 15 amas. Rashi bavarns a question. That is, you would think that maybe it was even more than 20 amas. And the reason is because, as we just described before, the planks themselves were 10 amas long. And they were on the walls of the wagon, there on the width of the wagon was the length of the planks. So therefore it comes out that the planks were going side by side, that takes up 20 amas, besides of what the wagons took up. And therefore maybe you would say, Rashi's asking, that it should really be, Rosh Hashanah, it should be 20 amas, because now these were like covering over the whole area of the wagons. And that Rashi says that no, that since the krushim were higher than 10 amas, higher than 10 amas, 10 tvachim from the ground, but that's because the wagon itself was 10 amas high. So therefore, there's no status of Rishus HaRabim higher than that area, because the airspace, the area of Rishus HaRabim, is only from 10 tefachim and below. And whatever's higher than 10 tefachim is not Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, that's not significant. We don't view that as the Rishos HaRam, and therefore, for that, for all practical purposes, we're not considering the Krashim. We're considering the wagons. The wagons themselves were Rishos HaRam. If that's the case, now we only have 15 Amos, not 16 Amos, as we just described, 5, 5, and 5. And that the Gemara answers, Amsi Yisrael HaVa. There was an extra Amos there that makes it into the 16 Amos of Rishos HaRam. We needed another thickness of an amma to have a half an amma on the side of outside of one wagon and another half an amma on the outside of the other wagon. Why is that? As the Gemara describes, Davakoi ben Levi, there was a ben Levi, one of the Levim that was involved in the transportation of these krushim. The chimishtalfi krushim, that if the planks would be sliding down, that is, there were different groupings as we had described in the previous staff of the krushim that would be side by side, the width on their width on the length of the wagon. And what happened is, if maybe they might be falling down, they might be toppling over in between them, into the airspace between them, that was between the different groupings. So Havanakalahu, so then the Levi would go and grab it, and he would go in between the airspace between them, and then go ahead and grab it and be able to put it back. And he used to follow behind the wagons, and if he saw that anything happened, he would need a space of a half an amma for him to run to the side. So if, let's say we drew a picture that, let's say, if the Rishus HaRabim had to be at least 16 amas wide from the wagons going through, because the Levi had to have at least a half an amma to go and fit himself on the side so that he can get in between the holes to go then go ahead and hold up the crush and make sure it doesn't fall down. And therefore, since they had to have a half amma on this side for those crushmen, and a half amma on this side for these crushmen for the other wagons, those two half ammas go ahead and become an amma, and therefore there wasn't just 15 ammas, there were 16 ammas, and that's where we learn up the halacha of Rishus HaRabim being 16 ammas from the avoid in the Mishkan in the Midbar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing on this theme of Hitzah, of transporting something from one domain to another domain on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, Chuyas Habar, the bank of a pit. And that is, if someone takes earth from the ground of the pit, he digs it up, and then he puts it around the pit itself, like many people do that, they put stones or rocks or twigs around the bar to make like an embankment. So now, regarding that, and Vahasela, and a rock, Shehen Gevoyin Asar V'chavin Arba. Now, if this pit together with the bank is 10 tvachim high, and 4 tvachim wide, and the same thing goes for the rock, so then that has a halachic status of Rishus HaYoch. It has its own domain, although it's in middle of Rishus HaRam, but if you have this rock that's at least 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide, the same thing goes for this pit, so then the halach is going to be hanoitel mehen. If someone takes from them, from this rock, into Rishus HaRam, or v'hanoitel al-gabon, if someone gives from Rishus HaRam on top of this rock, his chayiv is liable because he just took from Rishus HaRam to Rishus HaYoch. But if it's less than these dimensions, left either less than 4 tvachim square or less than 10 tvachim high, then you're going to be potter because then we don't give it the status of Rishus HaYoch. Another Gemara asks a question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah described the first case of Chuyas Habar, the bank of the pit, if together with the height of the pit, let's say the pit is 8 amas high, is 8 tvachim high, and then you have another 2 tvachim of the bank that's going to make it 10 tvachim high, that will be Rishus HaYoch. So the Gemara asks, Lomer li l'misna Chuyas Habar Besela. Why did we have to say the case of the bank of the pit together with the case of the rock? L'misna Habar Besela. It should have said two different cases of the pit without a bank, and the Sala and the rock. And the reason is because it's obvious that the reason why we said two cases of the rock is to tell you the halacha of height, that the height of 10 tefachim gives it a status of Rishus HaYoch. And regarding a pit, it makes sense because of the depth, that if someone takes from inside and brings it out into Rishus HaRabim, that's also going to be considered taking out the Rishus HaYoch. It could be either because of a 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim low, deep into the ground. Because if this halacha that we're saying for the pit is regarding height also, to say that if you take it down from the bank, down into Rishus HaRabim, because since it's 4 tefachim squared, why do I need that case for? We already saw the case of the rock. What is the bank any different than the case of the rock? Yet they're both 10 tefachim high, and it gives it the status of Rishus HaYoch. So obviously the reason would be is because we're taking out, because you're taking out from the depth of the pit inside. So then why do we say regarding the bank, we could have just said a pit that's 10 tefachim deep is the same as a rock that's 10 tefachim high, that we give it the status of Rishus HaYoch. Why add on this element of the bank adding to the dimensions of the depth of the pit? And that the Gemara says, obviously the reason why the Mishnah does this is it supports the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Dami Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, the pit, together with the bank, they combined for the shear of 10 tefachim. That is, it will give the bar a status of a Rishus HaYoch if you take out from its side of it, outside, then it's going to be taking out, although the pit is only 8 tefachim, because once it reaches Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it maxes out at 8 tefachim. It's just that the bank adds another 2 tefachim. Still together, it creates that this bar is 10 tefachim in measurement, in length, and therefore, although it's only 8 tefachim deep from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the halacha is that it will give it a status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and that's why we say, to tell you this chiddush of Chuyas HaBar, that they do combine. As the Gemara said, Tanam HaHoch is similar in the Braisa. Regarding a pit in the public domain that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, so then you cannot fill up from that bar. If you're in Rosh Hashanah, you can't fill up from it because you're going to be taking from Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim squared. So then you can't fill up from it on Shabbos. We continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara says the only way you would be able to fill up from that pit if you're in Rosh Hashanah is Elm Kin Asla Machitzes Gevul Yud Tefachim. If you make walls around that area that are 10 tefachim high, then you'd be able to fill up from inside of it and take it out, because now that you made walls around that pit, so you made a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and now in Rosh Hashanah Yachid you could take it from the pit because you're anyways like in a house. However, the Ein Shaisnim in the Beshabbos, another halacha related to this pit that's without the walls, that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim squared, that you can't drink from that on Shabbos. That is, if you want to stand on the edge of the pit and take a cup and draw it and put your head over the space and drink, that you can't do, as we learn in the Mishnah in Avon that says, L'yamar adam b'shus ha-rabim b'yishtu b'shus ha-yachad. A person that's standing in b'shus ha-rabim can't go ahead and drink in the private domain, again, if he's using a utensil, a cup, because he might bring the cup to him. That's why that's aser. When would it be mutter? Elam kein hichnus lo roisha v'ruba. Only if he entered over the airspace of the pit, his head and the majority of his body to the place where he's drinking, then that would be mutter. But if not, if he only has his head there and he's drinking with a cup, that would be us, because then he might bring it back to where his body is. Then the main idea of why we brought this in, it says, Ubari b'chul yasim et starfan lasar, that the pit and the bank combined to 10 tefachim. That's as we explained, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why our Mishnah says, Chul yasabar, to tell you that chiddush, that they do combine to create it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, in spite of the fact that the pit itself is only 8 tefachim deep, but the height of the chulya adds another 2 tefachim, or whatever the measurement that it's adding to it. Another Gemara brings a question that will be negeya, that will come applicable to the understanding of our Mishnah. Yes, in the following question. Regarding a beam, a pole in Rosh Hashanah in the public domain that has the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's 10 tefachim high and it's 4 tefachim wide. So the question was as follows. V'zark v'noch al gabav mahu. Then someone in Rosh Hashanah went and threw something that landed on top of this beam. What's the halacha? The question is, mi amrinan hariyakira b'isr, v'harinoch b'isr. It seems like it should be a problem. You took from Rosh Hashanah Ram, there was an akira b'isr, you uprooted from one domain, and the placement was b'isr because you put it into another domain, to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So they were l'chor yishubi chayiv. Why not? It went from Rosh Hashanah Ram to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Oy dilmor, maybe. Kivin de memakum potru kasi loy. Maybe because, since ultimately, before it landed on the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, on this beam, it came from a mokum tur, from an exempt area. And that is because it's impossible that it didn't first go into the airspace above the pole before it landed on it, which is a mokum tur. It's an exempt area because that's not from the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the area of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, only extends up to 10 tefachim high. Above that, it doesn't have the halachic status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And similarly, it doesn't have the halachic status of the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because when did we say, and that is a halacha that said on Dav Zayinim et Aleph, that Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Oila Adler Rekia, that Rosh Hashanah Yachid has its domain up to the sky. That's only opposite the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But here, before it actually gets into the airspace of this Amud, it was lifted up above 10 tefachim, above the area of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And maybe the question is, maybe we say that it wasn't a complete Akira Nanacha Be'issa, because and before it landed, it went through a makom tur, and therefore coming from a makom tur, just like if someone went and took something from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid and he put on a doorstep, which would be a makom tur, and then from there into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it would be potter, because it was an akira, then anocha, then akira, then anocha. Here was maybe because since it's coming from the airspace of a makom tur, maybe you're going to be potter. So Amalei, so Yansi, Masnitni, it's our Mishnah that we had just said, that Hanoitl Mehen, Vahanois Nagaban Chayim, that someone that takes from them or puts on them is going to be liable. That is, you have this rock, which is really the equivalent of this pole, that you go ahead and you take it from it and you put it into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be chayiv. Obviously, even though it's coming through the airspace, because it has the same dimensions as this pole, so obviously the same thing happened, that it went up and it first lifted over the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, still we say chayiv. So therefore, your question is resolved from our Mishnah that it would be chayiv. So, Asa Shaila Rav Yosi, he went and asked Rav Yosi the same question. Amalei Masnini, he also told him the same answer. It's our Mishnah. Also Shaila Abaya, he came and asked Abaya the same question. Amalei Masnini, he also told him it's our Mishnah. So I don't know who he said to all these Amiram. He says, Kulchu Baruka Dahadadi Tavisu. You're all spitting with the same spit. Why are you all giving me the same answer? So Amrulay, they said to him, what do you mean? But Adlai Tizbe, you don't agree that it's the same halacha as our Mishnah. But now we learn our Mishnah is almost the same case as you're asking. And Noitel Mehen, the Nois Nagbon Chayiv, that whoever takes from them or puts it on them is going to be liable. So therefore, the case of the rock is no different than the Amad and the beam. They're both 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim squared. And we say in our Mishnah, Yechayiv. So what's your question? So Amalei says, no, Dilma Masnitin B'machad. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a needle, which is, doesn't have any height, and therefore it didn't have to go above the 10 Tvachim of airspace because it went right from the 10th, from the Rishat Ram onto the top of the beam. But then they responded, it doesn't make a difference. Mechad Nami, for a needle also, Efshu Dilei Medalia Purta, it's not possible that it didn't go at least a little bit because it has something, somewhat of a substance of height, that it went above the 10 Tvachim. And therefore, since it's going from the Rishat Ram, once it goes over 10 Tvachim, it went into Makom Tur. And still we say in the Mishnah that you're going to be Chayiv. However, he responded, no. I could tell you that the case of a Mishnah was that it never went into the Makom Tur, it never went to the exempt area of the ear space above 10 Tvachim and Rishat Ram. Because the Mishnah is talking about the Islay Mursha, that is a protrusion in the rock that is below 10 Tvachim of the rock, although the rock is 10 Tvachim high. However, it's a part of it sticking out that's below 10 Tvachim. And since the majority of the rock is above 10 Tvachim, besides that protrusion, that doesn't give it its own designated place of being considered a Makom Chashim, and therefore it's what's called Chayri Rishas HaYachid. It's like the crevices of Rishas HaYachid that has the same halachic status as the Rishas HaYachid. And therefore, you can put it on this part of the rock which is below 10 Tvachim, but it's as if you put it in the Rishas HaYachid which is above 10 Tvachim because it's part and parcel of the actual Rishas HaYachid. Inami, or a similar type of an answer, Dirami B'charitza, you could say that you put it through a crevice in the rock that it came from below, that had a hole, and then it stuck it in and went that way through the top, to the top of the 10 Tvachim. But it didn't go through the ear space. And therefore, I could tell you that our Mishnah is not a Raya, and that's how the Gemara ends, that there is no Raya from our Mishnah, that because it could be that the way he put this needle, or whatever the object was on the rock, was not going through the ear space of Rishas Ram. And therefore, it's not resolved this question about if it's thrown from Rishas Ram to Rishas HaYachid, onto the top of this beam, if the fact that it went through Makom Tur, would that make him exempt because it didn't go straight from Rishas Ram to Rishas HaYachid? A similar type of question the Gemara brings, Amar Rav Meisha, Boy Rav Yechanan, Rav Yechanan asked the following question. If you have a wall in the public domain, like every house is really in Rishas Ram, but the wall is 10 Tvachim high, but it's not 4 Tvachim wide. So therefore it doesn't have its own halachic status of Rishas HaYachid because it has to have 4 Tvachim width. However, umuk of lekarmelis, this wall was surrounding a karmelis, which is that it was a bika, it was an open valley. Now this wall is surrounding it. And through the surrounding of the wall, it made it into a private domain. That is either because he surrounded it with this wall to make it into a dwelling, or if he surrounded an area that wasn't more than 2 saw, which in halacha, that will view it now as a Rishas HaYachid. So now this wall is not a Rishas HaYachid on its own merit. But now the area that it's containing, that now it's surrounding, made that area into Rishas HaYachid, into a private domain. Now, bizarre, someone goes and throws from Rishas HaRabim, v'nochag above, and now it lands on top of this wall. Mahu, what is the halacha? As the Gemara explains, mi aminin kivin de'in rachav da'at, do we say this? Since the wall of Maisa is not 4 Tvachim wide, Makom Tur, it's an exempt area, and you're not going to be liable for transporting from Rishas HaRabim to Rishas HaYachid. Oidimu, or maybe no. Kivin de'asar Rishas HaYachid, since this wall made the Carmelis into a Rishas HaYachid, Kaman demali dami. It's like we see it filled up with Rishus HaYachid area, as if the ground filled up the whole space inside of it. And therefore we see it as one big Rishus HaYachid. It's part of this area that's enclosing, although it's ear, but we view it as one big ear, as if the ground came up to the top of Rishus HaYachid. And therefore that's part of that, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv. We view it as Rishus HaYachid. So Amar Ula, Ula responded, Kal v'chaymer. It's a Kal v'chaymer, it's definite that it is going to be Chayiv as a Rishas HaYachid. And the reason is simple. L'acher Moisa Mechitza. For others, this wall makes it a partition. And that is, all the open airspace that's in between, that was originally this open field, it's now created into Rishas HaYachid. So La'atzma L'Kolshkin. So for the wall itself, isn't it obvious for the top of the wall that it's also going to be considered a Rishas HaYachid? And therefore, as the Gemara says, it manami. Similarly, we learned Omer b'chiyah b'rashi merav b'chein amir yitzchok amir b'yechanan that the same case. If you have a wall that's 10 tefachim high, but it's not 4 tefachim wide, umukav lekarmelis v'azur shas yachid, and surrounds a karmelis and it turns it into shas yachid, hazerik v'nachal gabav chayiv. Someone that throws and lands on top of the wall is going to be liable, as we explain. And what's the svara? Because lachem reis mechitza. If for others it makes it into partition, thereby designating it as shas yachid, la'atzim lekalshkin. For itself, isn't it obvious that it's going to be considered a mechitza of shas yachid, and therefore it has the halachic status of shas yachid, in spite of the fact that it in itself it doesn't have four tefachim width, and you're going to be liable for transferring from shas ram to shas yachid. Also in this topic, the Gemara brings another question from Rabbi Yochanan. Bar Rabbi Yochanan, he asked the following question. Bar Tisha, if you have a pit that has a depth of 9 tefachim, v'okum imen chulya, and the person uprooted like a clod of earth from the bottom of the pit, and then he put that into Rishas Rab, thereby at the same time, v'shlim alasar, as he picked up this clod of earth that he took from this pit and he put into Rishas Rab, he now completed the pit into an area of 10 tefachim. Mahu, what is the halacha? In other words, do we say that he's liable? Because although before he did this akira of the klad, it wasn't Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it was only 9 tefachim tib. However, when he picked it up, he created it and turned it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, into a private domain. As the Gemara elaborates on the question. Do you say akiras chayfet v'asiyas mechitza b'hadi hadodi ka'asu u'mechayib? Do you say that his picking up this object, which is the klad of earth, and the creating of the walls of the pit came at the same time, and therefore he's liable because as he did this, akira, it was an akira of creating it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So he's taking that from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and now he put it into Rosh Hashanah Rab, and therefore he's going to be liable. Is that what we say? Or do we say that he's not going to be chayiv, and that is because before he went to take it, it was not Rosh Hashanah Yachid, therefore he's going to be potter. That the Gemara says, the Intim Tzolem, even if you're going to say, as the option, that kivin will have mechitza asar meyakar loy mechayiv, that since the walls were not there when he actually did the akira, when he was coming to take it, it was not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it was only 9 tefachim deep. However, the question I have is the reverse. Bar yud benosin l'toicha chulya umiatamau. If you have a pit that is 10 tefachim deep, now the person is taking from Rosh Hashanah Rabim a clod of earth and he's putting it into this pit. Thereby, at the time when he's putting the clod into the pit, he's diminishing the walls. What is the halacha over there? Do you say hanochas chayfetz v'silik mechitza b'hadi adodi kosu and you're going to be mechayv? Do you say that the diminishing of the walls comes at the same time as putting in the object and therefore you are going to be chayv? Because what happens is that when you're putting it in, it is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Or the Gemara says possibly oiloy mechayv, but maybe he's not going to be liable. That is, when he puts this thing down, it's the walls are suddenly not there anymore. We don't view it anymore as a wall of 10 tefachim because now the airspace is only 9 tefachim. So do you say that diminishing will help to make him potter or not? On that, the Gemara says, Tifshalei Medidei, let him resolve his own question, Rabbi Yochanan, from his own statement. And that is, now we learned in the Mishnah on the next daf, on daf Kof HaMedal. Hazerik arba amis b'koysel l'malam asar tefachim. If someone throws something, 4 amis, in Rosh Hashanah Rab, that lands on a wall higher than 10 tefachim, kizrik bav, it's like he threw it in the air. As we're going to explain on the next daf, that is, it lands on the side of the wall. So he's going to be chayiv, if it's higher than 10 tefachim, it's like he threw it in the air, and therefore he's going to be potter, because the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rab only, it maxes out at 10 tefachim, therefore, since it's higher than 10 tefachim, you're going to be potter, because it never had a hanocha in Rosh Hashanah Rab. L'matim asar, if it landed below 10 tefachim, kizrik bav, so then it's like you threw it on the ground, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. And the Mishnah concludes, if you throw it an object, 4 amos and shusarabim, you're going to be chayev for havara, for transporting something 4 amos and shusarabim. And v'havinaba, we had asked, which we're going to see on the next daf, the question that the Gemara asked, v'holeinach, but it didn't land. In other words, if someone is throwing something 4 amos, that now it hits a wall. So we're saying if it lands on the ear that's higher than 10 tefachim, it's going to be potter because it's higher than the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rab. So it never had a hanocha. You never really transported 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rab because it never landed in Rosh Hashanah Rab. But the question is, if it was only 4 amos distance, so then it never landed 4 amos, it bounced back. Because obviously an object can't stay on the wall. So if it bounced back, it never really traveled 4 amos. It came within. So how are you being chayv havar 4 amos if it didn't land 4 amos away? On that, the Gemara says, and next daf, that we taught this halacha regarding a sticky fig cake. And that is, that sticks on the face of the wall. And therefore, yes, you could be liable for transporting for amos because it stays there. four amos away. When it lands on the wall, on the face of the wall itself, how does it land there? Because we're talking about a sticky figure. And that the Gemara develops the question now, which to say that we could resolve Rabbi Yochanan's question from his own statement. Now, Vamai, why is a person liable in that case? When it's four amos away and it's a sticky fig cake that sticks to the wall, that if below four amos is going to be chayv, if it's below 10 fokim is going to be chayv. Hakamemait me'arba amos, but the person is diminishing from the distance of the four amos. The Mishnah says that the person threw four amos in the shusram, which sounds like even exact, mamish mitzumtzum, exactly four amos. Now, if it lands on the face of the wall, this throwing is diminishing from the four amos that it's necessary, and that is the width of the fig cake itself is taking up space. And yet we say the person's liable if it's below 10 tefachim, since originally there was an area of four tefachim of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore the Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Yochanan can resolve his own questions. Obviously, first the placement, the hanocha happens, and then only do we say that the sikl mechitzas, that then we see the mechitzas as not happening, as whatever we want to do to change the domain, either into Rosh Hashanah Yachad or out of being Rosh Hashanah Yachad. However, you see that first hanocha happens, because if we see it together, then we don't have any more havar and shusram, because it traveled four amos, yes, but not four amos minus the thickness of the devela, which that takes up space, and now it only traveled, because now we view it as part of the wall, it only traveled four tvachim, four amos minus that amount, which is not the shir of avar in Rosh Hashanah. On that, the Gemara says, no, it's not true. You can't compare the two cases. Hasam, there by the devela, by the fig cake, loy mevatele, the person's not abandoning it on the wall, because it's an object that he wants to have, and therefore that will not diminish the area of the airspace, and therefore we don't view it as taking up space, and therefore it did travel four amos in the Rosh Hashanah. Hocha, but over here by the chulya, by the clod of earth, mevatele, the person will abandon it. And therefore it applies the question, do we say that when it was put down, it was mevatele mechitzes, it was totally part, it took away the floor of the Rosh Hashanah by the height of a tefach, and therefore it's not 10 tefachim anymore, it's only 9 tefachim, and therefore maybe it's not chayiv because it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachad anymore, maybe it's going to be a Rosh Hashanah Rab or some other area, but not a Rosh Hashanah Yachad because it happened at the same time. And although by the fig we say that it's not taking up space, it's because he's not abandoning it. It does not become part of the building, whereas here it could become part of the building because he's leaving the earth over there. So a similar type of question the Gemara brings, Bayi Rava. Rava asked a very similar question. Zarek daf v'noch agabi yisaydim. Someone takes a board and he throws it and it lands on top of pegs. They're thin pegs that are 10 tefachim high, but they're not 4 tefachim wide. Now this board is 4 tefachim wide, and now when he throws it on top of the pegs, it makes it into an area of Rosh Hashanah Yachad because it's 4 tefachim wide and it's 10 tefachim high. That's the area of Rosh Hashanah Yachad. The question is, what is the halacha? Is the person liable for this zrika, for throwing it on top of these pegs? So now the Gemara asks, what is Rav's question? Is he asking Hanochas Chefitz Vasis Mechitza Bahadi Adodikosu? That is, do you say that when the object, this board, landed on top of the pegs, that it was making it into Rosh Hashanah Yachad at the same time, and therefore maybe now, because up until then there was no Rosh Hashanah Yachad, so what are you doing when you're throwing the board when you're Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Nothing. You're throwing from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to an area of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But when it lands, at the same time, it's creating an inter Rosh Hashanah Yachad, because now the pegs are the walls, and now it has a height of 10 tefachim, and it's 4 tefachim wide. So the question is, do you say that at the same time of the hanach, of the landing, that it will also create the walls? Is that his question? And then the Gemara says, if that's his question, Hayin de B'yechon, that was the same question Rabbi Yochanan had. Why are you repeating the same question in a different scenario? And then the Gemara says, no, it's not the same question. When did Rava ask this question? You're throwing a board with an object on top of that board. My, what is the halacha? In other words, it's what's known as ve'imtim tzalayma. Even if you're going to say, like Rabbi Yochanan had inquired, that like the option that putting an object and the hanach of the object and the making of the walls when they happen together will say that you're not chayiv. But here, there's a definitely over here, regarding the board itself, you're not going to be liable. Because we don't say it happens at the same time. First, the hanocha happens, and then we reassess what type of domain this is. But when it landed, it wasn't on the area of change. It was the area that it was before. And therefore, here, in this case of the pegs, which was not a Rosh Hashanah Yachad before the board came, so I agree that the board itself is going to be potter, because it was not a Rosh Hashanah Yachad before the board landed on it. However, the question is regarding the object. Maybe there you could be chayv, as the Gemara explains. Kiven b'had de'adodi ka'asum, do you say since they came, they landed together, the object and the board which was underneath it. So kanochas chavetz vasiyas mechitza dami, that it's the same as when you're placing an object and creating the walls, which we just said on this imtim tzlema, the option that we say, that when it happens at the same time, the hanocha and the creation of the new domain, that we won't see it as a new wall. And therefore, not only are you going to be putter on the board, but you'll even be putter on the object. Oy dilmor, maybe the object on top of the board is different. Since it's not possible for the object on top of the board to you know, when it lands, it gives like a bang and it jumps up a little bit. It's not possible. It's not going to lift up in the air a little bit, and then it's going to land. And therefore, since that's going to land, maybe kasiyas mechitza v'hanachas chavetz. I mean, maybe that will be like first making the wall and then placing the object down on top of it. And that is when the object, after it has the initial, it gets thrown up and the board lands, and then the object bounces up a little bit, then it bounces back down. Maybe once the board is there ready, it's a reshus hayachid. And then that split second later, when the object falls down on it, maybe that would be considered a hanacha already on the reshus hayachid that was made by the board already. Maybe there you're going to be chayiv. That was Rava's question. And the Gemara says, take it, let it stand. It's not clear regarding this question. Do we view the object as the same as the board that is happening at the same time as creating reshus hayachid? Or do we say that even that millisecond of a difference when it plopped up into the air and then came back down, we'll say that, oh, it was already reshus hayachid, and therefore when the object lands, it's already going to be a chiv of haitzah from the reshus rabim to reshus hayachid.